When it comes to the subject of healing, I found that generally most Christians want healing on the cheap. By that I mean that just as we live in an instant society, just like buying fast food, they want to drive up to the window, place an order, and drive forward to the next window and pick it up. And in the same way, I found that many just want to submit a prayer request and go on, never taking the time to learn how to operate in the blessing that comes from knowing about and operating in the laws of faith. I find that many of the fears and questions that they're dealing with are often answered right here on our website. If they would only take the time to read through the articles and allow the Lord to bring forth illumination and understanding to their heart. The Bible tells us that the just, well, that is us, those who of us that is that are born again, shall live by faith. We need to plug in as disciples and become students of the Word if we're going to live in the victory that the Lord desires for us to walk in. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study, to show ourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So make up your mind right now that you're going to get plugged in. And here's something that's very exciting. The very same principles that govern the appropriation of healing are the very same principles that work in appropriating all the other promises that are in the Word of God. One thing's for certain. I think we all know that there's a devil out there and he hates the body of Christ. Sickness and disease are in the world today. So don't wait until sickness or disease come knocking on your door to learn how to appropriate healing. Learn this while you're well. Then you not only will reap the benefit for yourself, but you can be a blessing in helping someone else who is in need. Now, if you are sick, then make sure you read through our entire site and ask the Lord to help you with your understanding, and be confident that He will. Make sure to submit a prayer request, as we have a dedicated team of over 20 intercessors that will pray for your request throughout the week. As we pray, and as you put action to your faith by laying claim to the promises of the Word of God regarding healing, the Lord will bring about the desired result so that you can get on with fulfilling the call of the Great Commission, testifying to the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and most of all, winning the lost to Him. I would like to share a testimony on how I learned to apply the healing power of the Lord in my own life. I had believed firmly that Jesus wanted us to walk in victory and that He paid the price for us to have that victory ever since I gave my heart to the Lord in 1987. I'd even read many books and listened to many tapes regarding healing and the power of the Lord. However, around 1991, I began to experience severe headache pain that was continual both night and day. The pain grew to be so bad that I began taking a bottle of sinus pain medication every day just to take the edge off of it slightly. I tried my best to believe God for healing, and I wanted to use my faith to receive my healing as I desired to trust God for everything. The pain continued to grow more and more intense as the days went by, and daily I would cry out in prayer, "Lord, the pain is so great. When are you ever going to heal me? Don't you care that I'm in such pain?" I tried everything to get His attention. I would sing praises to Him. I was quoting scriptures to Him regarding healing. I told Him over and over how much I believed that He was the healer. I even had the elders at our church lay hands on me and anoint me with oil and pray over me. I had the children in the children's ministry that I was involved in at the time lay hands on me and pray for healing, but still I grew worse. Finally, one night, as I was walking the floor crying out to the Lord, I glanced over to my closet that was open and I saw my shotgun standing there. I told the Lord, "If you're not going to heal me, then that shotgun looks pretty good right about now. I simply cannot continue living with this kind of pain every day." Well, at this time that I'm talking about, the pain felt like someone was stirring my brains up with a fork, beyond headache pain. Immediately, the Lord spoke to me and said, "I want you to go see a doctor tomorrow." Well, that was enough for me. The next day, the doctor examined me and prescribed an antibiotic and said that I had a very severe infection. As I took the antibiotics, the pain began to subside to a tolerable level, that is, but it never did go away completely. When the last of the pills were gone, the pain came back again at full strength. I went again to the doctor and was given another type of antibiotic. Again, the pain would subside to a tolerable level, but it did not go away completely. And when the last of these pills were gone, the pain returned again at full strength. Well, this scenario repeated over and over again. And one day after the doctor examined me at another time, he began to pace the floor and he was cursing under his breath as he walked from side to side in the room. And I looked at him and I just told the Lord, this doesn't look good. This guy hasn't got a clue of what to do next. He's really baffled. The doctor finally turned around to me and said, you've had every antibiotic that we have access to. Why don't you just pick one that you think worked the best? You tell me which one you want me to prescribe for you. So I did. And guess what? The same scenario played out again. As soon as the pills were gone, back came the pain at full strength. By this time, I had been sent in for a sinus scan, and it came back clear. They could find no problem. They had absolutely no clue as to what was causing all of the terrible pain. When my prescription was about to run out, I called the doctor for a refill, and at that time I was given a lecture on how a person cannot live on antibiotics, and that he would only refill this prescription one more time, and then that was the end of it. I would get no more. Well, I went off to the store and I got my refill, and then I began to think, what am I going to do when these pills run out? These pills are only prolonging the inevitable fact that I'm eventually going to have to deal with this pain. I then cried out to the Lord with a loud cry of desperation. Lord, don't you see the situation that I'm in? When are you going to heal me? Loud and clear, the Lord came back with a rather matter-of-fact tone to his voice by saying, when are you going to believe that I already did? I was startled by his response and I said, so you mean healing is just kind of floating around out here? And he said, yes. So at that, I start grabbing at the air and placing it on my head. The Lord said, no, that's not the way. You see, I was desperate, and he told me to get my Bible and go sit down and that he would walk me through it. As I got my Bible and sat down on my bed, he reminded me of Isaiah 53 and how when Jesus went to the cross, he paid the price not only for our salvation, that is the forgiveness of sin, but also for our healing. He then told me to turn to Romans 10 and take a look at starting at verse 6 to read through to verse 13. And that block of scripture says this, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or, who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All of a sudden, this block of scripture had new meaning to me, and I'd read it many times. He showed me that one of the areas I had been missing it in was that I was looking for a future work of grace. I had been saying, when are you going to heal me? And according to this block of scripture in Romans, it says that faith does not talk that way. You see, Jesus was already placed in the tomb. He already ascended into heaven. The work had already been done. When we say, I believe the Lord is going to heal me someday, or when, Lord, are you going to heal me? What we're really saying is this: Lord, I need you to come back down to the earth, be born as a human being all over again, and go to the cross and suffer and die and raise again for my present situation. What we're saying is that what he already did on the cross is not good enough for us now. Now, I know that we would never consciously say that or even think that, but when we neglect the fullness of his redemptive work on the cross, that is exactly what we're saying. Notice in verse 9 that it's written in the past tense that he has raised him from the dead. And verse 9 and 10 read this way: that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Something that is very important for us to understand is that the word saved and salvation have the very same meaning of not only eternal life, but they're also both just as strong in the meaning of healing of the body and soul. In other words, this is talking about the word salvation and saved are talking about healing for the body, soul, and spirit. When you read this word saved or salvation from now on in the Bible, you need to read it as a hyphenated word. You need to look at it as saved, healed. And that's so you can keep the understanding alive within your heart. We need to receive the finished work of the cross as being paid in full. And in verse 9 and 10 here in Romans, there is a great truth regarding believing in your heart that healing is already provided for you, and the working together of our words by laying claim to the healing promises. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Real Bible faith needs to be in operation in two places, both in our heart and in our mouth, believing and speaking in line with the precious promises. The Lord then told me to turn to Isaiah 54:17. I quickly quoted it to him as I had already memorized it, at least I thought, and I quoted, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." He said, "You know, that's not the whole verse. There's more to it. Why don't you turn there and take a look?" I quickly turned there and was amazed at what I had missed. The verse actually reads this way: "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord." You know, sickness and disease will talk to you in your thoughts. It'll tell you that you're never going to get well. It'll tell you that you're only going to grow worse. It'll say to you, "How are you ever going to carry on when you're in such pain? You're not going to make it." The Lord then said to me, "Sickness and disease is judging you falsely. As Galatians 3:13 states, you are redeemed from the curse of the law. I see you through the blood of Jesus. I see you as pure and whole." He then said to look at the next part of this verse, where it says, "You shall condemn." How do we condemn it? Well, we condemn sickness and disease through the Word of God, taking our authority in Jesus Christ and commanding it to leave our body. That is, not accepting its presence. Now, as Christians, we do not deny the existence of sickness or disease that may be attacking our body. However, we do deny it the right to stay. Then it goes on to say in this verse that this is our heritage. In other words, it's our birthright as born-again believers. And our righteousness is from Him. In other words, we have every right to do this because of what Jesus has done for us. And take a look at who is speaking in this verse. It says, "saith the Lord," so we know that this is a direct mandate from the Lord to us. I instantly said that this is an Old Testament equivalent of Mark 11:23, which reads, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says." Praise God! He has given us the right to walk in this type of authority. He then told me to go on to Mark, the 4th chapter, and read the parable of the sower. I was amazed that when I got down to the 15th verse, the Lord gave me an understanding that brought great joy to me. And I want to read that for you. Mark 4:15 says this, "And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." You see, Satan operates in some wisdom. He knows that if the word takes root and grows within a person, it will yield great fruit, and he will have a hard time dealing with this person in the future. So he attempts to steal the word while it's just sown, before it can produce. And he does it immediately. He doesn't wait. The Lord said to me, "Why doesn't my church at least operate in the same type of wisdom? You could learn something here from his actions. Why don't you steal his word immediately? Don't let it take root. Replace it or come against it with the truth of the word of God. Use his word as a cue to bring forth the word of God. Every time you're aware of the symptoms, instead of moaning or complaining or saying how much it hurts and then mumbling about why isn't it working, instead of that, do the word and begin to focus on who you are in Christ, declaring your righteousness in me. Speak to the mountain and command it to go and be removed out of your life. Decree what the word says about you, then go on about your business. Do this every time you're aware of doubt, every time you're aware of the symptoms, every time you begin to feel like you want to throw a pity party. Do it every time, and don't get tired, and don't stop." Well, I just began to laugh and laugh. I saw it. I mean, I really got a hold of it. I told the Lord that I wasn't going to finish the new refill of antibiotics that I had just picked up that morning. After all, they weren't healing me anyway. I said, "Lord, you've armed me with a much better healing remedy, your word." Now, this is important. I told the Lord that I received my healing right there by faith. You have to receive it as a finished work. I settled it right then and there. I claimed it as my own and thanked him for what he had done for me on the cross. And I made a note of the date. Then I said, "Devil, you're in trouble now. I know where I've been missing it. I know what to do now. Sickness and pain, you have to go. You cannot stay in my body. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the redeemed, and I say so. Get out of here." Immediately, I heard a thought in my mind. "You know, the pain is going to come back, just like before." And I said, "Yes, but now I know what to do, and you cannot stay. I've already received my healing by faith." Well, I went on to work that day, and I worked at a Christian bookstore at the time, duplicating tapes for various ministries. So I had kind of a benefit because I worked in the back room of the store, and I could get a little loud. I told the owners of the store that the Lord had given me a plan for healing, so if they hear me talking or getting a little bit loud, I'm just commanding the devil and the sickness and pain to leave. And they said, "That's all right, they understand," and they told me to go right on ahead. It wasn't long before I was aware of the pain beginning to creep up the back of my neck. I got a little smile on my face, and I shut the duplicating machines off and just went after it. I spoke to sickness and pain as if it were a person standing right in front of me. I pointed my finger out and I said, "You have no right to stay in my body. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, so it's illegal for you to stay. I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to go. Devil, I rebuke you. You take your filthy hands off of me. I'm God's property. I am a child of God. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Jesus isn't sick. Jesus doesn't have pain, so neither will I have it. He bore it for me on the cross. It doesn't belong to me. I condemn you, sickness. I condemn you, pain. Get out of here. He sent his word and healed me, and by his stripes I am and I was healed. I'm seated with him in heavenly places, and I am healed of the Lord now." Well, thank God I had been memorizing victory scriptures about what the word of God says and what it says about me. After a short while, I went back to work, and sure enough, about a half hour later, I was aware of the pain again, Once again, I went after it the same way. Well, to make a long story short, I did this about 30 times the first day. I even did it right before I went to bed that night. I remembered what the Lord said when He told me to continue and not grow weary and do not quit. The next day, the same thing played out. But at the end of the day, I noticed that I had only done it about 15 times. Yeah, things seemed to be getting a little bit better. And at the end of the third day, I realized I had only done this about 5 times. And by the end of the fourth day, I was totally healed and I was pain-free. Now, one thing I want to make clear, just because I got my healing in 4 days, don't you put a time limit on yours. You just continue in faith, standing on the Word with a knowledge of who you are in Christ, no matter how long it takes. Use your authority in Christ. I've been healed of other things, and most of the time they took longer. One of the things took about 2 years. But the bottom line is this. I'm healed and free from the problems of hay fever, lower back pain, knee joint pain, hemorrhoids, high blood pressure, and even a food allergy. I don't get the flu or colds. When they say that the flu is going around, I just agree and say, yeah, and it's going right around me too. If you get a hold of this, it'll change your entire life. There are some real nuggets of truth on this website that will put you over and on into victory if you'll take the time to plug in and allow the Holy Spirit to impart the word of victory into your heart. Who knows how many people you will be able to give this precious truth to after you get a hold of it yourself. For a deeper understanding into these truths that I've relayed in this testimony, take a look at the article on our directory page entitled Scriptural Foundation for Healing. It's a step-by-step, in-depth revelation of these scriptures that the Lord walked me through in regards to this healing, and this will change your life forever. Remember, faith can only operate where the will of God is known. So keep the switch of faith turned on and know that the Lord is on your side. He desires for you to receive all that He paid the price for you to have. He loves you and He wants you to have the benefits of the blessing. So expect in a big way. That's right. Get your hopes way up and shake off the doom and gloom and fasten your seatbelt as you plug in to the Word of God. God bless you as you continue in faith, led by the precious Spirit of God.